in Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Repeat after me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, that was good. That was good. All right. But do you know what you're saying?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But do you realize that what you're saying is an imperative? It's a commandment. In the Hebrew language, it's written in the imperative, which means you praise the Lord. Or in Old English, praise ye the Lord. Praise you, you do it. Can be you plural or you singular. Praise the Lord. It's a commandment. Now, in Christian tradition, it has become an exclamatory. Right? A hallelujah or the difference between hallelujah and alleluia is an H. See, Greek doesn't have H's, and so they have a breathing mark that goes over the A. That got lost somewhere, and now it's alleluia instead of hallelujah, but it's still the same word, okay? And so it's become an exclamatory. We shout it out in celebration and in praise. But in the Old Testament, it was written as a command. Halal means praise. Yah is the shortened form of Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Okay? That's what it means. Y'all praise the Lord now. Right. Now, the word hallelujah appears 24 times in the Old Testament, and it appears all 24 times in the book of Psalms. All right? Halal appears 110 times, not just in the book of Psalms, okay? The message, though, is clear. God desires, God commands his people to be hallelujah people. But there's more.
I feel like a commercial.
But there's more. If you call in the next 5 minutes, no, anyway.
Yeah, I'm a commercial.
That's right. You're right. Exactly. All right. But there is more. There are seven Hebrew words for praise in the Old Testament. Okay? And there are more than 225 instances in the Old Testament of God commanding his people to praise. That's a lot. In English, it comes out like praise the Lord or praise God, praise him, extol the Lord, exalt him. Sing praise, sing to the Lord, sing a new song unto the Lord. Anyway, it goes on and on. Now, most of these are found in the book of Psalms, and that's why in Hebrew, the book of Psalms is called the book of praises, Sefer Tehillim, okay? Book of praises. And all of this is more than I can cover in one sermon, all right? It's just a whole bunch of stuff. And so I sent you a handout. It went into your inbox in your email this morning. All right? So go home and look. Now, I know you don't get your email, so I made you a copy. All right? There you go. Right. Is there anybody else who needs a copy who doesn't get their email? Do you need one, Jack? You're okay. All right.
This time.
I still have two more copies if anybody feels a dire need for one. All right. But anyway, and that'll tell you about the seven words, Hebrew words for praise. All right. But why all this emphasis on praise? What does our praise of the Lord accomplish? Well, let's look at that. When we praise God, it opens us more fully to his presence. Okay? When we praise God, we call on His name. And when you call on the name, that's why you can't use the name in vain. Okay? When you call on the name, you make Him present. And so when we're worshiping Him and praising Him, we're becoming more and more alert to His presence. Now, He's always present, but we become more fully aware and open to Him. That's why, for example, during praise and worship, you'll see the charismatic gifts moving more fully. Okay? Why we have more prophecy during praise and worship than at other times during the service. For example, the Mass for Life. Why do we go out and celebrate the Holy Eucharist outside of an abortion clinic? Because we're making Christ present in that place. And His light can shatter the darkness of what's going on in that place. We're making Christ present. Praise changes us, and as a result, through us, changes that which is around us. Let me give you an example, okay? Our praise changes us. Back in 1995, February 1995, I did the first Kairos in North Carolina at Central Prison in Raleigh. Now, there were a lot of things that we had to learn, and the men at the prison had to understand and learn and go through this process. But anyway, it's a three-day thing. It starts Thursday night, ends Sunday afternoon. But it was a new deal. And so a lot of the other guys who were on the unit who were not part of Kairos became very jealous of the men who were on the Kairos. Because the guys who were on the Kairos got leave from their duties so that they could attend. They also got much better food and lots of sweets. And there were good things. And there was a lot of resentment on the part of the others in the unit. Okay? And so by Saturday morning, some of the guys who were coming into the meeting room had long faces, and they were kind of bedraggled and, just up all night arguing with so-and-so. Anyway, so the rector of the Kairos got up and he said, "Look, guys, do you really believe God is here? Do you really believe God is at work?" And they said, yeah. "Oh, do you really believe that the joy of the Lord is in your heart?" "Oh, yeah, absolutely. Would you please inform your face?" when you're really in the Lord and celebrating the Lord, it can be contagious. And in the same way, when you're not, that can be contagious too. Our praise changes us. Our praise changes the world around us. All right. Praising God also lifts our spirit. Giving praise to God reminds us of His blessings. Let me give you an example. In Hebrew tradition, when the Hebrew people would praise God, what would they do? They would rehearse the things that God had done. Think about that. They would say, "This is the God who delivered us from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He overcame all of the nations. He established us to be here. He overcame Og of Bashan. He did all this on our behalf. We praise you, O God." It's a rehearsal of the blessings that God has poured upon all of His people. God saved us. We are reminded of that every time we lift up our voices in praise. So when we are down, when we are discouraged, when we are hurting, what do? Praise God and allow Him to lift us up and be glorified in us. It refocuses us onto the one who has the answers. It refocuses us on the one who has the ability to pull us out of these difficult situations. It gives us new light, new life. a new perspective on the temporal things that are passing away, knowing that God is in control. All right. Thirdly, our praises enlist God's protection and deliverance from evil. Think about this. It's spiritual warfare. Every time we, you know, the enemy is not going to hang around any place where God is being glorified. So you praise God and you are disarming the enemy. There was a Roman Catholic author that I read as I was working on this sermon. Her name is Gina Christian. I've never heard of her before. But anyway, she wrote, the ancient syllables, that is, Hallel, Yah, the ancient syllables should be roared as a cry of victory that's downright dangerous to the forces of evil. I just love that thought. It's wonderful. But let me give you two biblical examples of praise overcoming the enemy. One Old Testament, one New Testament. In the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is being attacked. Three armies are coming against Jerusalem to overcome Jehoshaphat and his reign. And so it says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Moonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Jehoshaphat appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Notice, they're going in front of the army. The praise worshipers are going out first, okay? Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were all routed. Jehoshaphat and his army never even had to pick up a weapon. The praise of the Lord disarmed the principalities and powers arrayed against God's people. Now, the second example is from the New Testament. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas have been arrested and have been thrown into prison. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. They praised the Lord and the doors blew open and their chains fell off and they were freed. What was that?
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's what I thought I heard. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. What do these stories have in common? Well, the focus is upon God and openly praising him in difficult situations. God hears and delivers. All right. So, my friends, we celebrate Jesus. We praise the Lord. We are called to be hallelujah people. When we praise him, it empowers us. When we unleash his power, he works wonders. There are many ways to praise him, and so that's why I sent you that handout. I'm not going to go through all of that in the sermon. I want you to read it. I think it will be encouraging. I think you will enjoy it. I believe that there is a good word in there for each and every one of us. Seven words in Hebrew point to the different ways we can praise God, all right? So look at it. We can come here corporately and praise God together. We can sing praises on our own. For example, if I'm walking in the neighborhood or I'm driving a car headed to Selma or wherever, I love to just sing the canticles. Say them over and over again. And I usually do it in the 1928 Prayer Book version because that's what I learned as a kid, you know. Oh, be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song. You know, anyway, you don't have to hear all that. Anyway, but I love to do that. Just, you can do this on your own and it brings you into the presence of God. And God can take care of all of the needs that you have at that moment. Of course, it's not all just music and loud singing. It's also quiet contemplation. There's nothing I love more than to go and sit in my gazebo and just be with the Lord. Light the candle and just sit in the quiet and the dark and just be with the Lord. Let me give you another example on that one too. Many, many, many years ago, I don't remember exactly where I heard this story, but there was an old man who had come into the church. It was in Italy. The old man would come into the church and he would come to the front pew and he would just sit there and stare up at the cross, the crucifix. And he did that every day, but he never said anything. He never participated in any of the worship. He just came and he sat. And so the priest finally just said, you know, hey, why do you come here? What are you doing? You never do anything. You just sit here. And the old man looked up at him and he said, I'm retired. I have nothing else to do. So I come here and I sit and I look at Jesus and Jesus looks at me and we're both very happy. Isn't that an awesome thought? What a way to praise God. My friends, a little bit of hallelujah goes a very long way. We are hallelujah people. Don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to look silly. When we praise him, we make him present, and we unleash his power. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.